We try to work things out and arrange things so that we hope that it'll all work in a way that our problems will go away. And God, don't let something happen to us. Don't let somebody else do something to us. Then we want to go and we want to poison everybody else against what that person did. And we want to take the situation into our own hands. And we want to allow ourselves to be in control. But the bottom line is that the more you put your hand into it, the bigger the mess that you're going to make.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of God is My Masada. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God is My Masada.
The more you put your hand into it, the bigger the mess that you're going to make. And I believe Luther had something here when he said, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. But praise God that he lets us know that we have a fortress against our frailties. Because Luther goes on to say, we're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You asked who this may be? You asked me who this may be? Christ Jesus. It is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Luther picks this up from the 46th Psalm. Notice what he says in verse 7 and verse 11. The psalmist says, the Lord of hosts is with us. In verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. Well, what does that mean? That word host is the word Sabaoth, which means the Lord of the armies. That the Lord will go forth and he will fight your battles. That you don't have to go out here and try to fight the battle on your own. Somebody has done you wrong. Somebody has done something against you. The worst thing that you can do is go out and try to launch an assault on these individuals in your flesh, in your spirit. Let the Lord fight the battle. The weapons that you have at best, will only last you for a second. The weapons that you have are fleshly weapons. The weapons that you have are carnal weapons. And the Bible says that the arm of the flesh will fail you every time. The psalmist said, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, I'm going to let him fight my battle. You know, one of the things that I appreciated about the leadership of this church, that several years when we were going through an attack, I mean an all-out attack as a church, not only attack from within, but we were being attacked in the community. And this attack was a great attack. And the wisdom from the leadership was just, let's just let the Lord fight the battle. Let's just let the Lord fight the battle. And I've seen it for myself that if we would have launched out and got a lawyer and went to court, we'd have just made a big mess of everything. Did we, in our own strength, confide? Our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing doth ask who this may be. Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth is His name. from age to age. Hebrews says that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From age to age, he was a winner from the beginning. He won when he was here, and he's going to win in the future. From age to age, the same. And he must win the battle. You see, his name is at stake. If you're saying, I'm letting God fight this battle for me, and you lose, God's name is at stake. But you let him fight that battle. Don't you take it into your own hands. I remember one of my favorite TV programs, Walker, Texas Ranger. And I remember one time, Walker went on his construction site, and these big dudes got bad with Walker. And they said, well, we're going to put you out of here. And Walker said, I'm not going anywhere. And they said, yeah, you going. And he said, well, you're going to give me the answers that I want. And he said, I'm going to give you a choice. You can do it the easy way, or you can do it the hard way. And I can't believe this guy, man. I can't believe it. I sat there watching my TV, and the guy said, well, we want to go the hard way. I said, no, he didn't. I said, he didn't say that to Walker. He didn't say no. Man, he must be crazy. And I see God's people doing it all. You know, we want to do it the hard way. We want to fight the battle ourselves. We want to fight the battle with words. We want to fight the battle with gossip. We want to fight the battle with tearing down. We want to fight the battle with all these fleshly carnal weapons. And it says right there, if we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Thank God that Jehovah Sabaoth is on our side. And I don't know about you, that brings me a great deal of peace and a great deal of comfort to know that I can sit back and let him go fight the battle, because I've seen it for myself. I've seen him do it. I saw him do it. He is a fortress against our frailties. The third thing that Luther picked out of this 46th Psalm, that he is a fortress against our fears. Luther said, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And though this world with devils filled, I got some bad news for some of y'all. And the bad news is this, is that there are demons that are out to attack us. There are satanic forces that are out to attack you. And Luther wasn't too far off when he said, though this world with devils, they're filled. See, the devil can only be in one place at a time. Some people say, man, well, the devil's after me. Well, you know, the devil, you're probably not that important. You're really not that important for the devil to be after you. All right? Now, you got some demons after you. You got some fallen angels after you. But you know, the beauty of it all is that we don't have to fear. And go back to the 46th Psalm again, because he picks it up there in Psalm 46. He says in verse 2 that even though all this stuff is happening, therefore, not will not we fear. You don't have to fear. With all these devils that are around you, with all these attacks that are coming from the enemy, you don't have to fear. I remember when I was in college, and I think it was New Year's Eve, and I had come back home from college, and I was got with a couple of my partners. And I remember that movie, The Exorcist, was out. And we had gone to see it. And it was, you know, after midnight when I came home. And my parents, I remember my parents, they weren't home. And my brothers weren't there. And I said, I'm not going to that house by myself. And I stayed and I sat on the wall across the street from my house all night until my parents came home, because I was afraid to go in the house. And you know what? When I got saved, God spoke to my heart and said, what are you afraid of? A devil, a demon cannot hurt you. The psalmist said, we will not fear. Luther said, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. FDR said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, I'm not inviting, and I don't want any demons in my house, you know, taking over. But you know what? Let them come. I'm not afraid of them. I ain't afraid of you. Why? Because I got the truth of God in me. I got the truth of God on my side. Now, I don't believe that satanic and evil things are something to play with. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if we find ourselves under attack, the worst thing that you can do, the worst thing that you can do is be afraid. God has given you the victory over any demonic opposition that you might have in your life. You know, people talk about, you know, demons and this and demons and that. And you know what? And folk, man, you know, you ever see somebody running from a dog or running from something? And what do? They run and, oh, man, hit my hand, right? Running, oh, and you mess yourself up running because you're afraid. And it's not the thing that's hurting you. You're hurting yourself. We have nothing to fear. And once again, we shouldn't take it lightly, and I don't believe that we should play with it. And I don't believe that we should invite it into, you know, with, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble with all these, you know, Ouija boards and going to calling Miss Cleo and all this other kind of stuff. See, whenever you deal with that kind of stuff, then you're inviting. You are inviting the forces of evil. And you know what? Not only are you inviting the forces of evil, but what you're also doing is that you're empowering them in your life. So then you might need to be afraid. You might need to be afraid. But as long as you are living in the truth of God, then all you have to do is let him put you in that inaccessible place called Masada, and he will keep you safe. And you need not fear. Bill Glaze, get in that house. There's nothing in there that can hurt you. We will not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the forces. Respect the forces of darkness, but don't be afraid of them. The Prince of Darkness, Grimm? Well, who was that? Satan. We tremble not for him. His rage, his demonic tax, we can endure. Why? Because his doom is sure. Two verses. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 10. Revelation 20. Now, he's the greatest in the forces of evil and darkness. And look what happens to him. Revelation 20, 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are. And he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Lo, his doom is sure. And then what did Luther say? Luther said, one little word shall fail him. One word will take him out of commission. That's how much power he got. Oh, I know we're jumping this morning, but go back to the 46th Psalm. Back to the 46th Psalm. In Psalm 46, in verse 6. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Where did Luther get that one little word shall fail? Right there. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. He spoke one word, and it knocked the devil out. And so we need not fear. Why do we need not fear? First of all, because his doom is sure. That Satan and all of the forces of darkness, that their doom is sure. They're all going to burn in the lake of fire. And what did the psalmist say? He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Back in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Beginning in verse 11. When Christ comes back. Look what it says here. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and should rule them with a rod of iron. So where did it come from? Now, you know, as we look at the book of Revelation, there are different interpretive methods for Revelation. Some people say there's the literal method. Some people say, well, this is symbolic. Well, I'm saying whatever, if it's literal or symbolic, the fact of the matter is that he can take them out with the word of his mouth. And that's the bottom line right there, that he can take them out with one word. And I believe that's what Luther meant when he said, one little word shall fail him. He's a fortress against our foe. He's a fortress against our frailties. He's a fortress against our fears. And then finally, we see that he's a fortress against our failures. That because God is our Masada, that we have a fortress against our failures. It says, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And as I close, let me say this, that the devil may take our earthly possessions. That's why Luther said, let good and kindred go. If the devil takes it, let it go. And you know, the fact of the matter is that he may even take our life. Or he may even allow our, like God may open up like he did Job. And Satan attack us, even to the point. Now look at all the people that followed Luther, right? During this Reformation. And go back and study the Reformation and see how many people were martyred for the Reformation. So Luther knew the reality that the attacks that came as a result of the Reformation were not from these popes and not from these bishops and not from the church. Luther knew that this was an attack straight from hell itself. And he took their possessions, and for some of them, he even took their lives. And Luther says, sometimes you got to let goods go, you got to let family go, and sometimes, see, you know, we live in a society where, you know, it don't cost us anything to worship. We can come in here, you know, and I see y'all fanning today, but normally the air is really nice, right? We can come and sit in air condition, right, and worship, and it don't cost us anything. But there are some people who have paid with their very blood to worship. And Luther realized that. He said, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but you can't kill the truth. You can't kill the word of God. His truth abideth still. And I heard somebody, we were at a counseling conference a couple of weeks ago, and I heard somebody say something that was very profound, and I've been kind of holding on to this, but it says, whatever you're going through, one or two things are going to happen. Whatever you're going through, one or two things will happen. Either it will end or you will end. That was profound. Your trouble is going to come to an end. All those people during the Reformation that were their troubles came to an end. But what is one of the most glorious things that can happen to us? It's to enter into the presence of God. But see, we haven't learned the lesson that Luther is trying to bring out in this song, because what do we want to do? We want to hold on to mortal goods. We want to hold on to earthly possessions. And we want to even hold on to our life. And if God says it's time for you to come to be with me, why do we struggle with that? Oh, I understand. I understand that, you know, we want to be here and we want to be with family and friends and we still got more. I understand all that. But if God is calling us, it's time to go. And if Satan is the means by which we go, let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. See, in the end, we win. We win in the end. That it might seem like it's the ninth inning, two outs. We got a full count and we're losing. But you're going to win. God is going to pull it out some way. Now, you can't lose based on the following reasons. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. God is our fortress. God is your Masada. You can't lose. Christ is the Lord of hosts. He will fight the battle for you. You can't lose. We have his truth. His truth abideth still. You can't lose. He said the Spirit and the gifts are ours. You got the Holy Spirit. You can't lose. We have been gifted for success. The gifts are ours. And then praise God, we are a part of a kingdom that will last forever and ever and ever. And the psalmist said in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is your Messiah.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of En Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, God is My Masada, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God is My Masada. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God is My Masada. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.